Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you are about to listen to the 120 minutes of the most encouraging, enlightening, informing minutes of your day and hopefully of your week, because we're here to encourage you and encouraging you with me with you, him with him. We're here.
I think.
It's John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
We are here to encourage you this morning. I just want you to know. I just want you to know that God is speaking to his people. He is telling us what's going on. And if you're struggling with trying to hear the Lord, let's hear him together. Because today we're going to share some things with you. John has some of the most profound things that's going to probably part the wisdom of your understanding. I just can't wait to walk upon the water of his situation today. And we, this is going to be a wonderful day. A wonderful, wonderful day. Yes, you are listening to VFN Radio. VFN Radio. But welcome our new listeners who's sitting in the virtual audience. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Maya. Good morning, Christina. Good morning, William. Good morning, Angel. Oh, my goodness. The stadium is being filled and filled and filled. And the Lord is going to return with splendor and glory. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you on VFN Radio is Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, the one is going to share the most wisdom that's going to part our understanding. As a matter of fact, it may take the Lord to seal our right and our left lobes together of our brain. It's going to be so powerful.
Oh, my God.
We're going to walk, I mean, like the parting of our hemispheres of our minds. And we're going to sit and we're just going to, you know, you can't hear me, but my jaw's like, boom, hitting the ground like, oh, my goodness, I am a different person because John is going to share with us this morning such an encouraging, I just can't wait. I just can't wait. Kind of reminds me of what John McCain was saying in that debate in New York. Remember, you're about to witness the most 15 minutes, the most hilarious time of your life. You know, and it was like putting a little pressure on his opponent who had to come up and, who was from Krypton, he said. He said he was from Krypton. And but I also want to welcome Pat this morning, the producer.
Good morning.
The man, the Ed McMahon. If you get your sweepstakes in the mail and it says you might have won $1 million, that is not from Pat. Man, I just love the new look of our Facebook and our new. We have some great things coming out as well. If you get a chance, you know, go to bfntv.com and click on our Facebook and see some things going up. What's so good about it is, you know, I guess Pat's picture's on it now. You can actually tell how challenged John and I are, but now you can see, you know,
exactly.
This movie star over here. And
please.
Smile?
Yes, he definitely smiled, but he had to literally lift his cheek up to be able to make
I had to push it up.
He was trying.
I thought he was pinching his cheek at first.
No.
Look close.
No. He's just like posing, you know. He's like, how's this? What's this going? And, you know, she's taking shots and stuff like that. And that's the one that they settled for. I think it did really well. And, of course, we just kind of threw us up there.
Just taking a photo here.
Yeah, just going to take a photo. Right. Actually, you have less hair now. Well, you know, this morning, you know, I want to encourage you this morning. We also have a new look coming out. We're going to be talking about a campaign really soon. You know, I'll just kind of give you a little hint out there about it, you know, that a campaign's coming. I'm very excited about sharing it with you. And, you know, our goal is to fill the virtual stadiums, the virtual stadium of the VFN TV and VFN radio audience so we can fill the stadiums across America. And, you know, some of the changes that are coming up, you're going to see in your VFN TV app, which you can get at iTunes or your Google Play Store. You're going to see a new when you open it up, you'll be able to see a new look because everything is, just has this great look. They're just doing a wonderful job of putting things together. We're just constantly trying to make what we're doing easier and better for you to be able to be enlightened and be encouraged and realize, you know, despite what everybody else is doing, I'm hearing the truth. I'm hearing the light of God's word, and I am joyful. Joy's not a myth. You know, I can have fun and look at the truth at the same time. You know, when you fear not your life unto death, you know, I talk often about this, is that, you know, it's just like, you know, people try so hard to live. I mean, it's, they just really try. I mean, it's just like, man, you're trying so hard to live. But when they fight their way through that surgery, or they fight their way through that financial difficulty, or they fight their way through a gang situation, I finally got out of the gang. It's like, but all you're doing now is watching cable. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wouldn't it have been better to die for a cause than to live for no cause? You know, and it's truly, it's like, I mean, come on. Are you enjoying your life? I'm not enjoying your life. I mean, come on. It's just amazing. It's like, you know, it's like you can fake an adventure, or you can walk with Jesus and be in an adventure. You know, some people, this is reality now. You know, some people, you know, went with Jesus, and some people stayed behind in the towns that Jesus ministered. And they both were believers. But the ones who went with Jesus wrote the books that those who stayed in the town are reading. So do you want to read the book, or do you want to write the book? Listen, it didn't stop with Revelation chapter 28. Acts didn't stop with the last chapter of Acts. We are the continuation. Greater things will you do because you believe.
That's right.
And so I want to encourage you that, listen, you don't have to bungee jump. Come on. Obey God. There's nothing like the adrenaline of watching somebody put a noose around your proverbial neck while you're going, I love Jesus. It's like adrenaline rush. Come on, bro. I mean, think about it. You don't need to jump off no cliff with a little piece of fabric and try to get your blood moving up. Stand up for Jesus.
That's right.
You know, run for a political office in America. Man, you talk about adrenaline. It's like, the wolves came from everywhere. You know, I didn't realize how bad I was till I ran for office. So this one particular guy said this. He said, you know, when I'm about 70 years old, I'm getting close to going to be with the Lord, I'm going to run for a political office. And they said, why would you do it at 70 years old? He says, you know, I lived a long time. I've done a lot of wrong things, and my memory's going. But I know if I run for political office, any sin that I've ever committed will be brought to my attention and I can repent for before I go to meet with my father. It's like, hey, okay, let's just purge it. Come on. What else? What else? Okay. So God, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Man in the back, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Oh, did Pat? Oh. Pat, repent. That's bad, man. It's bad. The Christmas Bible. It's like, that was brilliant, right? It's like, run for political office, you know, let all your accusers show up, and, you know, 80% of them are going to be liars, but 20% probably be truthful, you know? And then, you know, you say, oh, thank you. Isn't that cool? He says, so when I reach 70 years old, you know, in America, in a democracy, not a democratic government, but a democracy, that, I'm just going to run for office, and that way, you know, by the time I get done running my campaign, I don't worry about winning or not, but I'll be able to repent of anything I've ever done or thought about doing or they thought I did. Isn't that something? It's embarrassing how it's like, no, are these two Christian brothers? You know, what's going on right here? Do you really want the power of that bat? You know, do you really want? I mean, this is definitely a time you need to hear from God. You're going to be a leader.
I know, that's right.
But speaking of the Constitution, it is the Constitution Week. You know, it's the 225th year celebration, anniversary, when they signed the United States Constitution.
Wow. September the 17th.
And to celebrate that, you know, we're going to have Pat quote it.
Hold on a second.
In the beginning, God, no, that's a different Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Oh, no. Listen. The Constitution, 225 years. I mean, you think about, man, it'd be great to have another 225 years. But everywhere I'm looking, I'm hearing is like, oh, man, we might be at the end of the glass. You know, when somebody's drinking a Slurpee or a drink, those people who take their straws and kind of suck the last little bit out. It was like, it's like, I think we're, you know, this chance, if we don't ask, if God does not pour out another anointing on this country, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you'll be able to, you know, bane the box of your Cracker Jacks and nothing's going to come out. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be no prize.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, think about it. If we look at history, you know, that it's always been like that. You know, and it's only generations that forgot it's like that, that don't realize, okay, now it's time to stand up for what's right. Because
mm-hmm.
there's more people who feel the way you feel, if you're the church and you love God and you love people, than feel the other way. They just have mics and advertising campaigns and they use it well. I mean, Satan has to do that because he does not have the ability to convict someone or to inspire someone. I mean, he has to use, you know, manipulation and all those different things, you know, to convince mm-hmm. you to buy in. Because think about this, and I talk about this often, you know, why do politicians spend, and politicians, you know, a lot of people talk bad about politicians, but in America, if you love the Constitution, that's how we get leaders. That's the Constitution says mm-hmm. Americans, every American under, you know, certain requirements and ages and all that, has a chance to be a leader in America. So when you hear mm-hmm. politician, you know, politician is someone who said, okay, I believe the Constitution. I want to stand up for the Constitution, and I want to talk to, I have an idea how I think, you know, things should be in my community, state, nation, or whatever. And you begin to share your ideas and your values, and then you can run for office, and then Americans decide whether they're going to vote for you or vote for someone else. And that's actually not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. Because it mm-hmm. allows for us to have the First Amendment, which gives us the right, a people mm-hmm. a government by and for the people, that we can actually choose our leaders and we can choose the direction of our country. And if we do, you know, make some real stupid decisions, which American history, if you study, you know, American history, that I'm a real American history, because they compartmentalize history and they pull things out that doesn't seem right or whatever. It's like, dude, just tell it. Tell the truth and let's figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tell the truth about our history, you'll feel real good, because you realize that we're all sinners. It's like, oh, I just thought it was our generation. I didn't realize that. So you were a citizen of Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay. I got it. I understand. Oh, you were the one dancing around the golden calf. Got it. You have manna all over your face and you're dancing around a golden calf. Okay, cool. And you were a liar in the ministry because you were helping Moses, because Moses had a stuttering problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was Aaron, right?
Had a stuttering problem? That was Moses.
No, Aaron was his
brother.
Yeah, he was the one who was lying, right?
He was lying, yeah.
Is he? You called him a liar?
Yeah.
If the shoe fits.
Well, y'all haven't seen the size of Chris's shoe. He's like, I just put...
You've seen the size of his Bible.
Well, it's half the size of it used to be.
There's a picture of it on the torch.
You know, is there really? Oh, yeah. My goodness. Y'all got a picture of his...
Evidence.
Well, you know, if you've never seen... I mean, if you think that you've gone too far and that God cannot save you, go to the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, and what's the title of the highlight?
Oh, I didn't get your exact title. Like, it's
something about a fragrant offering.
That is so funny. John used to be so knowledgeable. You remember that?
Yeah.
He said, you ask him a question, it's like, oh, he's like Googling, like, what's my name? I don't know. You know, he's looking at it. What is it?
I'm getting it.
Sacrilegious? Is it called? Oh, my
Chris,
goodness.
Chris, you should know it. What is it here?
Oh, we'll give John an hour, and we'll come back to John. We've got too many important things to talk about.
We'll come
back to you. Maybe like Thursday. Well, I don't know who's actually writing these things, but we got to get them on.
Yeah, we got
to
get on
them.
They
can actually talk, you know, talk to tell us what's happening there. But, you know, it's the concept.
I got it.
Finally.
From smoking the Bible to being a smoke offering to the Lord, Chris's testimony.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty good. So you can go there and say, you know, probably type in Man Smokes Bible. And it's just, you know, until we know better, we don't do better. But, you know, once you meet God, since I've known God, you know, thanks to all this video stuff and this audio stuff and all these documented seasons of our life, you hear you say something on tape or something, you go, oh my goodness, hide me, wash me, Jesus. Oh my goodness. What are you doing? I'm just watching one of my old teachings. You know, it's like, I remember T.D. Jakes, he said when he originally, by the way, was from West Virginia, and he went to Texas. But he said, man, he said, when I left there, he said, I went back and got all my teachings and burned them or threw them away. He said, I didn't know what I was thinking. And, you know, you're just, and God's cool with that because you're progressively learning and you're watching. And it, what it does, it's just humility. You got it. We have to understand that we're living by the proceeding word, not by your storage of tapes or CDs or digital downloads. You got to hear what God's saying now.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes to go back and listen to a 10-year-old word or 20-year-old word, that was appropriate 10 years ago. But today it could literally make your shoulders come up around your ears.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, yeah, so 225 years.
Wow.
And here we are weighing in the balance. Will we have the Constitution? You know, will we, you know, will we keep it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and it's so important. It's just so important. In the 1950s, I don't know, it's 54 or something, they made a U.S. Constitution Week. We'd always take that moment to remember it. We probably should tie it in to the 4th of July, even though it's the Declaration of Independence, and so mm-hmm. we can create something other than just fireworks, you know, and have some challenges like Israel sure. does to remember their independence, you know, and mm-hmm. and part of our independence produced the U.S. Constitution. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
I just thought you were going to expound at that moment and just, you know, part our hemispheres.
I'm in agreement.
Well, you know, the Lord has given us the United States Constitution and the First Amendment to the Constitution. And I encourage you to get your little pocket constitution. I'm sure it's probably only like $3 or $4 and carry it with you and just kind of meditate on it and read about it and think about how men died for this. And, you know, take it and go to the Arlington Cemetery or to a military cemetery in your area and just sit amongst on a bench, sit amongst the soldiers who died for you to be able to read this and live by this.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your local sheriff's department or your police department where they're honoring the officers that died to protect your rights. You know, go to the judicial area of your community and look historically at the judges that probably have their pictures on the wall and all that held the line for many years. I mean, today there's some weird things going on, but they held the constitutional lines for Americans. And as you're reading it, it'll give you context and perspective that how could we waste and squander this freedom? I mean, even if we only have 5 minutes left of it, you know, in the natural mentality of carnality, of human nature is, you know, they like voting for a winner. They want to be on the winning side. I mean, even if it's Satan, it seems mm-hmm. like it doesn't matter. You know, and it, just as long, they want to be on the side of the person that has more marbles, you know.
Mm.
Now, you have to be less valuable because you only have 5 marbles and he has 10 marbles.
Right.
And it's like, have you lost your marbles? You know, it's kind of, as a Christian, you know, you would right. think in the context of it. And Jesus said, you know, people, God does not judge things the way men judge things mm-hmm. by the things that they have. It has nothing to do with it. And Jesus is the leader of all creation, the one who created everything and holds everything together, and he stood for perfectly what's right. He held to the Father God's constitution to the T, and in the natural sense, if you look at his life and what he's done, you know, most Christian Americans today would not have voted for Jesus if they didn't know who he was, because this is what they would say is, now listen, how much are you going to, is it a tithe? I mean, is it going to be, if I'm going to have to give up, how much money, Jesus, am I going to have to give up for you to be my leader?
Right.
And
Yeah, you're right. That's so true. Even taxes too. It's like, you know, is that tithing pre-Caesar or after Caesar? I mean, how much of this am I going to have to give over?
Yeah, and so Jesus would say, "Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you everything that you have. I'll just give you what do you need? Just ask me, and I'll give you whatever you need." And so, I'm going to give you whatever X amount of, you know, increase, and just to help remind you that I gave it to you. And we could be in right relationship, that truly I am your leader that you chose. You're voting for Jesus every day. You don't vote for him once at altar call back in 1812.
Hello.
That to remember that I gave you all that increase, just a tithe. Take 10% off the top and give it not to yourself, no ancestral giving. Mm-hmm. Not ancestral, ancestral given. Give it to God, and give offerings to the poor. And all. I mean, just, that's it.
Sure.
Oh well, Jesus. You know, I have a boat to pay for, and you know, I have a mansion, and my education. You know, where I learn how to actually be a communist. You know, costs so much money. You know.
Right.
Or and it's like. The truth is that they didn't, if Jesus wasn't on his name tag, and he was dressed in today's garb, whatever that is, and he stood up and he said, "This is what I believe in, this is the direction I'm going, and I will provide for you, you know, houses that you didn't build, you know, I will, if you give towards what I'm talking about, then I'll return it to you." I mean, he even gives you a return. "I'll return it to you 100-fold in this lifetime. And listen, I will even, you know, this lifetime's so short, and I want to be with you forever. I'll tell you what, I'll even give you eternal life, and I'll even give it to you again in eternal life." The question is, would America vote for Jesus? Would the Christian Americans vote for Jesus? Now, I'm not saying if he has a Jesus pin on, because that's politically correct. You know, even though in your heart you might be going, "Oh, this is going to cost me," and, you know, and Ananias is talking to Sapphira going, "Oh, great. We're going to have to, you know, do what's right. Well, maybe we'll just make it look right." You think about it. I mean, question is, if he didn't have a name tag on and he had a different haircut and he looked like, you know, somebody in America in your everyday life, you know, he's not walking around in a beard and a mustache and long hair. Everybody still has him. He's like, he's a royal king, by the way. Anyway, so would America vote for him? And that's the question right now. This is the question that's facing America with our U.S. Constitution before us that gives us the freedom to vote openly and unashamedly for Jesus Christ as our leader. Openly and unashamedly. Would we vote for him? Would you vote for him? And if you're not even considering, if you dissect your nation and your life from your Lord, that means you made your nation and your life your Lord, because Lord means Lord of everything. You know, and so this is the referendum facing America right now is, will we vote for Jesus? Will we say we want him to be the Lord of our hearts? Do we want him to be the Lord of our marriages and our families? It doesn't matter what anybody else. I'm talking about the church now, not just somebody who is an atheist. I'm not talking about those few guys. I'm not talking about others. I'm talking about the ones who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ. You say you believe in him, but would you vote for him? This is how simple this is. We can come out of this season that we're in, where it's being threatened. Our freedom's being threatened. And the only hope is the one who gave us that freedom, which is God. Will we vote for his son, Jesus Christ, as the leader, as the Lord of our life? Isn't that the question?
Yeah. That is the question.
That's the question. We wrote back.
You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wonder if there's anybody real. You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ, that he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I remember specifically my parents bringing up when they were kids, they used to listen to and watch the I Love Lucy marathon.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Definitely. Definitely. I didn't really get to catch more than probably about 5 minutes of an episode. And there was also like the, you know, the Gilligan's Island marathon. And as a kid, I used to watch the Cartoon Network, and I used to watch my the Ninja Turtles. And there was the marathon weekend, or the marathon constantly, the consistent program back to back. But I know that when you're listening to the VFN radio program, you're like, I want more. Is there more God? Yes. There's the marathon weekend where you can listen to back-to-back-to-back programs of the VFN radio program. 9 a.m. Central Saturday to 9 a.m. Central Monday. Check it out. Every weekend, all God. The marathon weekend.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me to encourage you is John, Pat, and Christopher.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, John, I'm just anxiously waiting for the hemispheres of my mind just to kind of like Moses just lifts your staff, and there's all of a sudden our minds part, and then this manna just drops in. And all of a sudden we have this epiphany. And we're able to walk on top of water, and our power bill's paid.
Great.
Chris is listening up.
I can't wait to hear this.
It was just kind of like, oh, la, la. I said power bill. It's like his forehead went, great, I'll listen to this.
I'll tell you what, though. I got to give some props here to our producer, because I really am digging this music when we come back from break. I mean, he's got some skills. Does he play that himself, or does he find that music? How does that work?
He asks somebody else to find that for him.
Exactly.
He's got skills. He's got skills. Listen, I found...
Well, you know, he's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's got this staff that he comes and he just swings his staff around and just things happen.
It just happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that staff before. We've heard about that staff.
Yeah, see this bruise right here? No.
I found the perfect gift for us. You know.
Oh, listen, you get a gift?
Need.
You say gift?
Gift. I mean, well, I saw a picture of it.
That's not a gift, that's a picture.
Well, we need to get this.
All right, I'm listening. I'm bracing myself to get it, because my mind's going to split open. I want to make sure I get it right.
All right, relax. You know how you need a good back massage sometimes, and you're trying to get, you know.
This is not Jersey. Jersey's not everywhere, man. I don't know. You know, I'm saying this is all, you know, what you're about to hear is not necessarily the views of the VFN radio or its supporters or donors. Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, good back massage, right? You need a good back massage. I saw a picture on Facebook. Ooh. Of a dad who's wearing a T-shirt, and he's face down on the carpet. And he has, on the back of the T-shirt, it's a whole, like, map of roads and you know, a city, like, and he has two young boys running the cars all around.
That's brilliant.
This is brilliant.
Because nobody ever drives the right road when you're like, no, that's not that. Right over here to the left of my neck right there. And they're like on some other roadway. I was like, come on. That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Shirt and you could label the areas. You know, left shoulder, you could say, go visit the store. The right shoulder, go visit the school.
And they could walk around on your back, depending how big your kid is. You know, like, you know, Jared's 19. I can't have him walk over.
Show back.
Yeah, right. Oh, my, that's a good idea.
Very good. I mean, we need to get this thing.
What happens when you gain weight? Is it like they kind of stay in an area for a long time, like in a parking lot or something? That's a road. That's a parking lot, Dad. I guess you got to order all sizes just in case, right?
Right.
Maybe we have to restructure these roads when we have done gains. Oh.
Well, listen, God's News Behind the News. I know we've been talking about Pastor Youssef and him just being released from prison, but Pastor Youssef, for those that don't know, he was an Iranian pastor who was
He still is, right? The pastor there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's an Iranian pastor who was sentenced to death for sharing the gospel, sharing the good news in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last 3 years, many, many, many believers and many people across the world have been praying for his release. And earlier this month, he was released. It was just a miracle from heaven. But he wrote a letter thanking the supporters and thanking everyone that prayed for him. And it's pretty amazing. You know, several times they gave him the opportunity, several times, to renounce Jesus. And he just refused. He said he could never do that. And so he was willing to stay in prison, even give his life. And I think about the loyalty of Youssef, and I think about the awesome commitment he has to God, and says, no, I won't, you know, if I perish, I perish. And so in the beginning of this letter, he quotes the scripture, Psalm 115:1, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory for your faithfulness, for your loyalty. And it just got me to thinking about the loyalty of God and his loyalty, you know, Youssef's loyalty to the Lord. And as I was abiding today, I was reading 2 Samuel 15, and this really stuck out to me. 2 Samuel 15, Absalom, which is the son of David, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit.
He is a paraphrase.
Yeah, I know it. He decided to do a different thing. He decided to take over, basically, his dad's kingdom. It's pretty, pretty horrible. And so he would go down to the area where the citizens lived, and they'd come up and he'd hear what their issues were. And basically, he was just dissing his dad. He was saying, listen, if the king had a representative here to help you, I'm sure you have a valid claim. This would be taken care of. And then he would kiss their hand and win their favor. Well, before you know it, in a short amount of time.
You're talking about Washington or what?
Talking about Absalom.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Are you paying attention? Come on now.
We talk about, you know, meeting somebody at the gate and kissing their hand, trying to take over.
Oh, come on now. Well, he was trying to win their favor.
He was giving them, okay.
Yeah, he just basically tell them what they wanted to hear and listening to their issues.
Which he learned from watching his father.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But he basically, within a short amount of time, he stole the hearts of the people. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, here's Absalom, totally disloyal to the king, totally disloyal to his dad.
Mm-hmm.
This is horrible. Well, King David gets news that, listen, you know, your son is he set himself up. He winds up going to Hebron, asks his dad to go to another city, and he sets himself up.
Is that wild? I love David's response, don't you?
Yeah, go ahead and go. Go ahead.
Maybe God will see this and reward me,
mm-hmm.
but also like his right hand man's statement. You want me to take his head off? We're all human.
Right.
I know, that's right. So he goes and sets himself up in this whole plan, this thing he hatched, where the people are going to swear him to be the king of Hebron, this other city in the kingdom of Israel. Well, in this whole thing, he decides that he's going to go and one of the messengers tells King David, listen, your son's gone a whack. He set himself up as king, and he's coming. And David says, listen, he tells all his officials, we got to get out of here. We got to go because, you know, this is not going to be good for Absalom. It's not going to be good for us. And he begins to leave and he walks out with all these people and they're leaving out of Israel. And you only can imagine what David is going through. Here's your son whom you raised, I'm saying, and loved on,
who's
turning his back on him. And it's like, wow, this is horrible. And so as they're leaving, you know, there's so many people in God's word and so many people everywhere that, you know, you're familiar with all sometimes the heroes of the faith and ones that they get mentioned a lot. But this is a guy here that you maybe have never heard of. His name is Ittite. Ittite the Gittite.
Wait a minute. Like Ittite?
Ittai the Gittite.
Oh, he's Ty.
No. His name is Ittai.
Ittai.
Yep.
Ittai. I'm trying to practice so I can get this, because if we've never heard of him before, we want to practice Ittai.
You may have never.
This is one of our brain parts, so we have to be careful.
Here it comes.
We have to be careful because it could be Ittai. That's the reason why it's going to part. This is good, by the way. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can feel it, man. I can feel it. Okay, Ittai. Got it.
Check.
Okay, good. Ittai the Gittite. So David looks over to him and says, you know, basically, why should you come along with us? You know, go back and stay with King Absalom. He says, David's humility is amazing here. He says, you're a foreigner and exile from your homeland. You know, you've only came here yesterday.
Now, where's Absalom at? Is he at Hebron or is he?
Well, he's coming over to take over Israel. And so, the King David and his men and his people, they're leaving. You know, they're
leaving Jerusalem.
Yeah, they're gone.
Okay, so the followers of God's chosen person is leaving the kingdom.
Right.
He's over. And now Absalom is coming back. No, he's actually coming to take over his father's kingdom.
Right.
And so where is this Ittite guy?
Well, he's walking along with them.
With King David.
With King David in this procession.
So he was in Jerusalem before that. He just left with David and from Jerusalem.
Right.
Got it. Okay. I just want to make sure because that's just good. It's good.
With this whole group. And so David looks over to him and says, listen, you should just basically stay here with Absalom. Calls Absalom the king now. He's like, why don't you just talk, you know, stay with Absalom. It's going to be better for you.
Yeah. Let him have it. Go ahead. We'll watch. Right. I can't wait to get his newsletter. It's good. Is it not?
And then he says, This is.
But wouldn't you want to hear what Absalom has to say, how he's running the kingdom? I mean, seriously.
What I want?
All of us would, wouldn't you? I'm serious. I'm not joking. I'm serious. It's like, wait for the newspaper to come out next week.
Right.
You're like, what is he going to say in the context of that? You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm just listening. This is good.
Okay. All right.
So the Ittite's going back. Because King David called Absalom king.
No, he's not. He's not going back.
Okay.
I'll tell you what the Ittite does.
I'm sorry.
All right. The Ittite replies to the king. He says, as surely as the Lord lives and as my Lord, the king lives, wherever my Lord, the king may be, whether it means life or death, there your servant will be. And it's like, man, the loyalty is amazing. You know, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is guy Ittai the Gittite. You know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, man, how would I respond to this? Here's your son, he's coming taking over, he's disloyal, and here's this Ittai the Gittite coming, you know, he just got here yesterday, and David's saying, you know, so humble, was like, look, go back, man, you know, this is not between you. And he says, listen, I pledge my allegiance, I pledge my loyalty with you. You're the king.
Ittai said, no, David, I'm just gonna be with you, King David.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be with you.
Because he knew it was right.
It's the right thing.
Right.
Not only was it the right thing, but you look at loyalty. You look at, you know, a person that's willing. You see a loyalty in the face of someone that's being disloyal. And you're like, oh, my goodness. And it's something you think about these days. Instead of just meditating, just thinking about this. Like, man, where do you see that? You know, where do you see where very few people, it appears these days, you know, and obviously there's some. And, you know, you always hear, you know, about them. But loyalty is, you know, has it become underrated? I mean, you think about what it actually means to be loyal, to be committed, you know, and here's this Ittite who says, listen, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to be with you. So I look at the word, you know, loyal means to be faithful to one's government, faithful to obligations or commitment, faithful to a leader. And you're like, wow, you know, what was it in Absalom's heart? He had this seed of rebellion. So what was it in his heart that allowed that thing to grow? And it's like, you know, the more the if you give thought to the he gave thought to these thought he gave life to those thoughts rather that he had, and it's like this thing overcame him. And before you know it, in his heart, he became totally disloyal, totally, you know, dissing his dad here. And you're like, wow, man, loyalty. So much needed in life, so much needed for your own personal life. It's something that, that you know, we all need, and we all need to make part of our DNA, our character.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about some of the a slogan that became familiar and is associated with the Marines, and it's called Semper Fidelis, if I'm even saying it right, Semper Fidelis, and they've
spell that
F-I-D-E-L-I-S. They call it, shorten it for Semper Fi.
Okay, yeah,
okay, okay.
Yeah, that's what
Semper
I used to hear.
Fi, yeah. Semper Fidelis, and it's yeah they say Semper Fi, and it means always loyal. But I always that was associated with the Marines. I didn't know that it started back in the 1800s. You know, families were taking that slogan on the coat of arms, and they were putting it as their family slogan and their motto: "Semper Fidelis, Semper Fi, always loyal, always loyal, always faithful."
And you have to be when you don't have big government, because it's a government by the people and for the people. We have to operate in the context that I'm loyal. It's e pluribus unum. Mm-hmm. You know, out of many, we're one, that we're loyal to the Constitution and what it stands for, and that we are reliant upon God and our Constitution, and that our rights come from God. And that comes with the loyalty. The only thing that's going to hold you together as a family is loyalty. Nothing, there's no, you know what I'm saying? Right. A true family. You can call yourself family, but if it's got stucco holding you in, I mean, that's the only thing that keeps you there.
Exactly.
And nothing. I got good friends that like stucco. I'm not talking about stucco. You know what I'm saying? Family's family. When I'm around you, I just know that we're family. As a matter of fact, I had a chance to spend some time with LaDonna, a friend of mine, yesterday. We had lunch together, and, you know, she's my sister of the Lord, and that... You know, we both are just loving, talking about Jesus and just loving on Jesus and hearing what's going on and, you know, and the great things, how God's blessing her and her husband. And nothing held us there but love.
Mm-hmm.
Love for God and love for each other. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but yeah.
No,
loyalty.
That's
and amazing. We were discussing, you know, our loyalty to each other for the cause of Christ, our loyalty to the Lamb, you know?
Exactly. And that's the greatest loyalty. I mean, people are, you know, putting loyalty in so many different things, but it's like, really? You know, it's loyalty even to a party, and it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's no salvation in no party. There's no salvation in, I mean, and you know, it's like, listen, we need to pledge loyalty and allegiance to God. And so, you know, there was another article that was came up in the news, and they were talking about Christians in India, and it's amazing that there's a law right now in India that basically says that if a person's going to switch religions now, they're going to change from being Hindu, whatever else, you know, other religion that's in India, and there's a whole lot of them. But if they're going to become a Christian, they have to register 30 days in advance, 30 days in advance to let them know that they're going to be a Christian. And then that is.
Yeah, you know, I'm really thinking, you know, right. I'm going to be walking down the street, and a believer is going to come up to me, and they're going to share with me the gospel in 28 and a half days.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to project to that. So I got a business plan. The business plan is my intentions are to have eternal life. Don't know how it works yet. Don't even know if it's possible, but I'm going to bump into a witness of Jesus down the road.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And listen, failure to provide this now. In notice,
are you serious?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Notice this requires a mandatory police investigation, prosecution, and sanctions.
No, they got 1 billion gods.
Exactly.
And the one true God, Jesus, they can't, you know, God and his son Jesus. You got to register to be able to be a believer?
Call the clue.
Wow.
So it says all persons desiring to change their religion, they're listed in a public list now. So now once they decide they're going to be on a public list, and now what happens over there is the extremist Hindus, they're actually going and literally persecuting, torturing them. They're trying to kill them. They're doing all kinds of stuff to them. It's really horrible. There's a class called, I think, the Dalits, but they were formerly called the Untouchables. A lot of people knew this class in India. There's 300 million of them, and they're considered the Untouchables. And what they're afraid of is that all of these Untouchables, quote unquote, are actually going to find salvation in Jesus Christ. It's like, listen, you can't put any law on anybody. That once people want to find God and they hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, let me, especially if I'm an untouchable, I'm you have me in the lowest caste possible. When I find out the good news of the kingdom, when I find out about Jesus Christ, a savior for me, there's nothing going to hold me back from my loyalty to him. There's nothing going to hold me back. And
American Christianity, you know, would obviously cash in about 5 seconds into that. You know, I got to give up my nonprofit status that I can't have a tax exemption in my 401k. I won't give that up for a 401j, but the Christianity that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, of not just hanging around the cross, as Steve Hill says, but getting on the cross.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, I think about they have a program. You can see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. It's called Printing India. And what they're doing is they're saying, we just want to help you out. Let me tell you something. Satan controls you by what he gives you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it comes in a lot of different things. But a religious control comes through a Jezebel spirit. And if you want to keep taking from her or his hand under the guise of religion, you know, because you get something out of it, don't be surprised that you can't shake bowing down to their gods.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying is, we want to get the middleman out, and we want to be able to provide for you. And there's a billion people in India, and they're saying most guys hadn't even seen a computer before.
Yeah.
And they're walking, their first computer they see is they're putting their hand on it to be scanned. They're scanning their retinas. They are identifying them, and they're giving them, setting them up for, quote, micro loans so we can get the middleman out. And it's like, dude, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Crazy.
Totally crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you look at this cast, these groups, it's 300 million. That's the population of the United States, just them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking, you know what? The loyalty of some believers in other countries, I mean, just to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, once they get baptized, once they publicly decide that, you know, they're going to follow God and they're going to follow Jesus, they're going to get baptized, that's it.
Yeah.
But many times people disown them, their family disowns them, they have to, you know, sometimes they're trying to even kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
And turn them in.
Yeah. And you think about it's just so admirable. And you think, you know what? Let the church in America have that type of loyalty, God. You know, I was just praying about it. Yeah. Lord, we, you know, we need that loyalty, that commitment.
We're definitely about to go through the trial, you know, so maybe we'll come out of that. You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, in the face of all, you look at, you know, even the ones before, you look at even the 12 disciples, you know, they were willing to commit their lives and willing to follow Jesus everywhere and preach the good news and share the gospel of the kingdom. And even the way they died, even the way they lost their life, you're thinking, God, this is awesome. May we all have that allegiance. May we all have that loyalty, Jesus, to follow you wherever you go and to make you the Lord of our lives.
And if they can do that there, man, we can do awesome things for God here. We'll be right back.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org. You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFN TV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
Steve, Pat, it's the weekend! Now, you do know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
The Marathon Weekend!
That's right, it's the Marathon Weekend, boys, and you don't want to miss it. Saturday, 9 a.m. all the way till Monday, you'll be able to catch back-to-back VFN radio programs. You certainly don't want to miss it. No interruptions, no commercials, just pure education, pure inspiration, pure revelation on Marathon Weekend. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat, John, and Chris. Here we are coming to the end of the first hour. I do want to say that is so encouraging to see Christians like in India that are willing to be persecuted for the cause, which means we have a long ways to go. That we could begin, you know, we got this freedom now, and we can go a long ways before we get to that kind of persecution to do a lot of good things for God. So I encourage you to get active, begin to share on your Facebook, begin to share the VFN torch, begin to get people involved in this conversation that brings light to our day, hope to Americans and the world that our King, Jesus Christ, is who we need to vote for. We need to vote for Jesus.
Hey, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're coming to the end of the VFN first hour of VFN Radio, and if you want to join us in just a few moments, we're going to be in the VFN Radio Extra Hour. I know several of you need to be able to go on to work. Don't forget you can hear us on your phone, your iPads, iPods, Androids, and your work computer. It can just play in the background. You can listen up. Be encouraged. We're here to encourage you, to give you perspective, to look the fact square in the face, shine the light of God's Word upon it, inspire ourselves to understand, hey, God knew about this, and then to empower ourselves to do something about it. God bless. We really enjoyed having you in the first hour. For those that are joining us, we'll see you on the other side.